And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I hope you're having a great day out there. Some of you may be working on your financial freedom right now. In fact, we'll get to what I mean here in just a second. If you have any questions, be sure to send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. That is my email address, askandy@luinc.com. I answer those personally, may bring some of those up on the air anonymously, of course, but happy to take on any questions you may have. And we're going to, well, I saw an article recently. I'll get to this article here in just a minute, but I do want to broach the topic with a question. Have you ever worked two jobs, right? You have your main corporate career, whatever it is you do, and you have to go out and get a second job. Why did you do that, if you did? And for how long? Was this a temporary seasonal thing? You know, when I was growing up, my mom, she didn't work two jobs. She was, for the most part, stayed at home, but she would disappear from time to time. She'd go get a part-time job or extra work anytime we had something. Maybe we wanted to go on a vacation. We'd drive up to Colorado, tent camp, that sort of thing. So she'd go work for a while. Sometimes people will get a second job to do that. So if you did, why? Think about that. And I got to thinking about it, and I essentially had, a second job of sorts for a period of time. But this was a good one. It created a fair amount of income for me. But it was really, really flexible. It was something where I could choose when and where and how much I participated. Kind of like my mom, right? This was not a regular W-2 type job where I was working for somebody. Rather, what I had done is set out to become a real estate investor. When was this? This was early 2012. In fact, I became a member at Lifestyles Unlimited. I heard the show, just like you're listening now. Heard the show on the radio for a very long time. And my wife and I said, let's go give it a try. And we went and we gave it a try. And boy, our eyes were open. We were convinced. We became members in, it was March of 2012. So it's been a while now. But back to the question, or why am I talking to you about this as though it were a second job? Well, because you may have that very question. I need more income. I hear you talking about creating cash flow, etc. Is being a real estate investor akin to having a second job? That's what I want to get to today. I'll tell you this, and I have the benefit of hindsight. I'm looking backwards now. It is way better than a second job, because it's not a job at all if you're doing it right. So if you are looking for extra income, you know, you work, corporate job, whatever, for somebody else, it's natural to try to go in that direction and find something similar, something after hours, something on the weekend. Which is why I say, hey, maybe you're working on your financial freedom right now in that direction. But have you thought about investing in residential rental property? Did you know that rental property, I just mentioned cash flow, it actually does more for you than just cash flow. It brings more into your life than just that piece of income. Now, that's what we focus on when we start. That's what my wife and I focused on, you know, in 2012. Because we needed to create that cash flow, because we needed to replace our income to get out of those jobs, which we did. So if you are thinking about a second job, I want you to entertain this thought today. Maybe it's investing in that single family house that I've been thinking about. So I want to go to the article that I read, and this came out earlier in the week. This was on The Hill, on the website for The Hill. They publish a lot of political type stuff and whatnot. But the article in this case says, record number of Americans working more than one job, right? That's the crux. That's what got me thinking. It's what I want to bring to you today. And they're basing this on a report that came out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is not something they're pulling out of thin air. And I went to the BLS just to confirm this. And sure enough, 8.9 million Americans reported working multiple jobs in the prior month, which is about 5.4% of the workforce. The interesting thing, though, is that this is a peak number. The last time we saw something like this was in April of 2009, right, when we were in the middle of the Great Recession. and lots of reasons why people do it. But I think financial reasons are the big one. And I want to address that notion now of kind of thinking about investing in rental property as that second job, because it can create that income for you to give you that breathing room. I'll tell you a little bit more about that here in just a second. I mean, financial reasons are the big reason, right? Financial stress. So let's talk about that. How about extra income? If that's what you need to relieve those stressors, you can go and get that second job, right? Where you're moonlighting after hours, whatever you want to call it, doing things on the weekend, missing your family and so on. Or rather than working, because essentially that's what you're now doing. You're working your day job for money. You're working now for even more money, but you're working. Rather than do that, you can take your money and put that to work for you. And this is where real estate comes into the picture, because if I go out and buy one single family house, let's just take that as an example. We'll talk a little bit about investing in apartments today as well, because we focus on both of those at Lifestyles Unlimited, and they can both fulfill this financial need for you. But let's take single family, because that's a little bit easier, and most of us live in our own houses. We understand that. You can go out and buy one single family house that you plan to rent to another family, give them a great home, and that thing will make you money multiple ways. You go out and get that extra job, you're bringing it, you're trading time for money, and that's it. You get that little bit of income. Oh, and now you're burdened with extra taxes too, by the way. I go out and buy one single family rental house. Number one, it's going to bring in cash flow. If it's not going to cash flow, and we learn how to do the analysis to confirm these things, then I don't do it. But I buy a house that's going to create anywhere from $200 to $600 a month. That's our target in net profit, net cash flow that comes in and stays in my bank account every month. That's one house. So if you're seeking more income to cover life's expenses because they have increased, you need to sit down and figure out, what are my monthly expenses and how much extra income do I need? Is that extra job going to do it? Or would one or two houses get me there? $200 to $600, that's $400 to $1,200 on two houses. And again, I have the benefit of hindsight because I've been doing this since 2012. First house we bought kicked off $450. That made a big difference. Next one we bought was right in that realm, $900, bam, coming in every month. Third one was, it was even higher, right? And the numbers just accumulated. But that's just cash flow. Don't forget, we make money multiple ways on our houses. So cash flow, that's like the regular income from that second job, except you can create multiple streams, right? Take that away as well. It's not just buying one house, because you'll figure out, oh, this is very easy to do. This is repeatable. Then you go and do another one and another one after that, and you have multiple streams coming in. So whatever fears you have about a potential vacancy or anything else, multiple streams mean, hey, it's coming in regardless. If I'm releasing that one, I've got cash coming in from the others, so it stays in place. But cash flow, just one way. Here's a cool thing. This is cool. Equity capture. This is like, let's think about this like a signing bonus, right? You've got your corporate job, and I'm going to go out and get a second job, and that second employer gives me a signing bonus just for signing up and doing the work, an extra 20, 30, whatever, hours per week. But in this case, are they going to do that? No. No, they're not. But in this case, I get a signing bonus every time I add a new house to my portfolio, and it can equate to tens of thousands of dollars, and that is equity capture. Why is that? What are we doing? We're going out and we're not buying houses that are rent ready, ready to go, look beautiful already. We're finding those that need work, and because they do need work, we get them at a discount. Let's say I buy a house here in I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Let's say I find one for $100,000. And it needs $50,000 in work. And when I'm done, the value, because I've added value back by way of improving the property, it's now worth $200. So I bought for $100, put $50 in, but it's now worth $200. There's a $50,000 gap in there. That's equity capture. Again, it's like a signing bonus. It comes out right at the very beginning. Over the, let's say it takes you 2-3 months to renovate the house, bam, you refinance, you get it rented, you're sitting on equity. Now, that stays in the property till you tap into that equity, either by selling or doing a cash-out refinance, but your wealth has just improved tremendously. That doesn't help you immediately with the cash situation, but you can get to that cash. That's a big point. And beyond the equity capture, that's a big one. That's a big one. Over time, because we hold this property for 1, 2, 3 years, something like that, equity builds up two ways. Number one, It's a rental property. I will finance it because that's how I keep my cash out of pocket low. I couldn't have done this without financing when I began in 2012. We just didn't have, we couldn't go out and pay all cash for that first house we bought. That house was $105,000. The rehab then was $30,000. And it was worth, I think it was worth about $160,000 when we were done. Could not have done that all cash. I didn't have the cash. But with financing, my out-of-pocket was much lower. And by virtue of financing, when it is rented, who's paying the mortgage? I mean, yeah, fundamentally I'm paying it, but it's coming out of that rent. And every month my equity builds up as that principal is paid down. And my equity grows, my wealth grows, and the market does appreciate. Every 20 years, real estate doubles in value. Here in Texas, we see about 3 to 5% in a normal year of appreciation. So that's going to go up and up and up again in the background. Again, that doesn't help me with cash flow. That doesn't help me in the sense of a traditional second job, right, in terms of income. But it will. Because at some point, I'm going to do what I've done multiple times on my houses and do a cash out refinance if I want to hang on to that house for a little longer. Pull that money out and reinvest. And what do I reinvest in? More houses or in apartments. And guess what? Now I have even more cash flow coming in the door. So the point is that equity does convert at some point, if you use it wisely, into more cash flow, right? That's the thought behind getting that second job. I need more income. I need more cash flow. Well, this is how you get there. And finally, you know, you don't get this with a second job. You go out, you're now on the payroll somewhere, and you get that pay every 2 weeks, every month, whatever it is. And what do? They withhold taxes. Immediately withhold taxes. You get much less than you thought going in. Worst case scenario, it bumps you up to a new tax bracket and you're paying more across your portfolio, so to speak. With our houses, with our apartments, the fifth way we make money, we have tax advantages. That cash flow that I'm bringing in every month, $200 to $600, guess what? I don't pay taxes on that. If you are doing it correctly, you do not pay taxes on that. How does that work? Something called depreciation. We're not going to get into that in detail today, but that's basically a paper expense that represents the wear and tear on that property. I can take that property and I spread the cost over 27 and a half years, a magic number that the IRS came up with somehow, sometime, don't know. But we depreciate the asset. Paper expense drives us into a loss position in the eyes of the IRS. So do I pay taxes on that cash flow? No, I don't. When I sell the property, you can do a tax deferred 1031 exchange, roll those capital gains forward, no taxes for now, right? Push those into the future. Wash, rinse, and repeat. So yeah, can you meet those financial needs with rental property? Absolutely. But there's more. There's more. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, that email is askandy@luinc.com. Happy to take those up with you. And we're talking today about getting a second job. And if I do what you're talking about all the time and go out and buy a single family rental house, is that going to be like a second job? And at least when I think about second jobs, it's just more taxing on your time. You know, years ago when we lived in Omaha, Nebraska, my wife actually did take a second job. She was at Dillard's, right? Commonly people go do retail in some capacity. She just wanted to make more money, right? Financially stressed, I guess, needed more income. Eventually, we figured out by just listening to this very program over a decade ago that maybe there's a better way. Rather than trading time for money, we can trade money and eventually get back our time, which we did. And that's the common reason people go out and get a second job. And by the way, we've just hit another peak in terms of people with multiple jobs, right? Maybe a sign of a cooling economy. Don't know exactly. We'll see. But financial reasons are the typical reason why people do this. Sometimes people do it, though, for more edification, more fulfillment, or they want to learn a new skill. And I just want to think about real estate investing from that perspective, because if that's something you need in your life, it's not income, it's not financial stress, but you need something to do, right? Yeah, this is a great way to go. I cannot tell you enough about all the things I've learned. I mean, my background, I came from corporate America. I was in finance, financing, corporate finance, that sort of thing. I had zero idea, no knowledge of real estate investing. My wife had multiple corporate type jobs, insurance, that sort of thing. Same thing. No background, no family that had done this thing, nobody that we could lean on. So we had no background, and we learned a ton. I mean, we learned so much, especially at the outset. I would say, yeah, we picked up new skills. Now, did we learn how to paint walls effectively, how to install carpet, how to hang ceiling fans, right? I was just talking about buying a house that needs work. Are those the skills that we learned? No, absolutely not. What we did learn are things like how to find property, houses and apartments, how to evaluate that potential investment. Did I have that skill set before? No. How to find financing. What kind of financing? We talk about using leverage, and it doesn't mean going out necessarily and getting a straight conventional loan. In fact, you will not typically be able to get a conventional loan on the type of properties that we're buying. And conventional, that may mean the Fannie Mae insured product, the standard thing you think about when you buy, certainly not FHA. And even DSCR, we talk a lot about the debt service coverage ratio loans as a type of commercial product. If you don't have good income or you're self-employed and you take a lot of expenses, Fannie Mae won't talk to you, but DSCR will. Both of those products need to see a fixed up house. But we're buying distressed property that does need work, so we'll use hard money. These are things I had no idea about. Even with a finance background, hard money, what is that? Scary. It was scary. High interest. But you're in it for such a short time, what I learned over time, it doesn't matter. Get in, get out, get refinanced, and go on your merry way. But these are things we learned. How to get the house closed, how to get it rehabbed, using other people's money to that point, and other people's time. So did we learn a ton? Absolutely. Absolutely. New skills, just new ways of thinking. So it was very edifying, very fulfilling in that sense for us. And it created a ton of income, a ton of equity, a ton of wealth, a ton of tax advantages. So yeah, nothing to sneeze at there. But to my fundamental question that I opened the show with, is being a real estate investor like a second job? And if it is, what is your job as a real estate investor? And I'm going to split this into two parts of the timeline, two stages, let's say. Beginning, and let's say experienced. You know, you've bought a couple houses, you've invested in a couple of apartments, and really, that brings me to another point. There could be two types of investor. You could be an active investor, or you could be a passive investor. Active in the sense, that would be the single family rental investor. You're going to be a little more involved, at least at the start. Or you could be an active apartment investor, somebody that's actually finding and doing the due diligence on putting the business together, business plan together for things like a multifamily investment, whether it's 20 units or 200. That's a syndicator. We call those leads at Lifestyles Unlimited. Or maybe you do that on your own as what we call an independent rental owner. All three of those categories are going to be more active. What a lot of people like to do, because they are working that corporate job, is to go passive, and they become a passive investor in apartments. Passive does not go well with houses, not in the sense of putting my money into a syndication, but it goes great. It goes great with apartment investing. So we're going to approach these kind of two notions, two stages, beginning and experienced, active and passive. And I want to go to the active side first, because that's what a lot of people do initially, is single family investing. And is it a job? You know, at the beginning, you front load a lot of the work, right? Whether single family or multifamily as a syndicator or an IRO, you're going to be doing similar activities. Number one, this is your job now. Yes, it is a second job at the beginning, at the outset. Learning new things, right? Corporate background, finance, no clue about rehabbing houses. So I spent a lot of time in this space, my wife as well, inherently working on new skills and in getting new information, education, right, in a word. And I'm glad we came to Lifestyles Unlimited, because there is a lot of opportunity to get that very education, the things we talked about, and much more. And a lot of that is online. It's very easy to do now. You can do it at your own pace. So when I go back and I start the show and I say, is real estate investing a second job? I talked about the flexibility. I can do it when I want to. I can do it where I need to, right? You have the flexibility because you can move at your own pace. You're not under the thumb of a second boss. You are the boss, okay? So you choose how quickly or slowly you go. But yeah, you get your education. Maybe you do it online. There's some activities we do in person. One of my favorite things is the single family road trip, because again, a guy with zero experience, what did we do? We would go out to one or multiple houses here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we do this in different markets as well. But we go to a house that a member had just bought, and we'd go into this house and it smelled bad. You know, a couple broken windows, carpet's been removed in one of the bedrooms for some reason. You know, maybe there's some funky stuff going on in the kitchen. Maybe the cabinets are just totally gone already. You know, foundation's out of it. We see what that starting product is and we get comfortable with it. And people talk to us, they talk to us about their scope of work. What are we going to do to this thing? And what are the financial rewards when we have done this? What's the cash flow going to be, right? What's the equity capture, that big signing bonus that they're getting at the start of the project, right? And then we go and look at it again maybe a couple months later and see the finished product. Actually, they'll probably talk about that at a case study. And then you really see, okay, they actually did rent it for this amount or even higher. Here's the cash flow, $400 a month. Here's the equity capture, $20, $30, $40,000, right? So that single family road trip for me personally was huge because it's scary. It's scary at the start, these wonky houses that need a lot of work. But the more you encounter them, the greater comfort you have, to the point where you're pulling the trigger left and right, bam, 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 I'll take that one. Yeah, let's do that one. And that cash flow comes rolling in. But these are things you can do when you have the time, not under the thumb of a second boss. You are the boss, but you want to keep going. You want to go fast, right? I think so. To get to that cash flow, that's number one. Number two, building your team. That's one of your jobs. It's not a solo sport. You do not want it to be. You are far better off using other people's time, other people's knowledge, and other people's money. So you need those lenders, both hard money and conventional DSCR. You need that realtor to help you find the property. You need that general contractor to do the work for you. We don't want you doing it. It's going to take too long. The quality will probably suffer. I'm sorry to say that. It'll just be done much quicker so you can get it rented, get that cash flow going, and go on to the next one. Three, networking. Very, very important. And you'll do a lot of this on the outset when you're beginning for the active investor, right? Someone that's going to be doing rental houses, somebody that's going to be a lead investor, a syndicator of apartments. You have to do all these things as well and much, much more. So active investor, these are things you're doing. What about the beginning passive investor? Well, you're front loading a lot of work too, because you want to absolutely be educated on the process of how a syndication works. What do SEC filing, or what does the whole SEC process look like, right? How are we circumnavigating that, so to speak? What does the business plan look like? How do I read that? How do I make sure it meets my goals? What are my goals as a passive investor? These are things you think about. This comes out of the education. This comes as well for me. I'm a passive investor in apartments as well. Through networking, talking to other passive investors that have invested with that lead who's got a new investment coming down the pike. How did you like them? Did they report timely? Right? Learning how to read those reports, by the way. So you do a lot of work up front as well so that you're comfortable doing the passive investing. So the point is, when you choose the path of real estate investor, is it like a second job? It is and it isn't. It is not in the sense that I'm not at the beck and call of somebody else. I choose when I do this stuff. Some people go really fast. Some people take their time. I just encourage you not to stretch it over years and years, right? Don't lose your focus. But once that's done, remember I broke this into two categories, the beginning investor and the experienced. Let's shift into that. Once you've become experienced, you've done a couple of passive investments in apartments, or you've done a couple of single family houses. You know, from the passive perspective, wow, what do? Maybe you're still working. You focus on your career and you wait for the dividends, for the cash flow to come in, typically quarterly with apartments. You observe, is the business plan? Are we meeting that? You read the monthly reports, right? And then you start thinking towards the future. What are my next investments going to look like? What are my goals what they were when I invested in these apartments 1, 2, 3 years ago? You reevaluate your goals, set those going forward, keep networking, stay educated. That's it. Again, on your time, right? With your speed. That's the passive investor. What about the active investor? I'm an active investor in single family houses. I do self-manage my portfolio. And I'll tell you, the great thing here is you front load the work as well. And it becomes more passive over time. I do not spend a lot of time managing my property. Even if you keep acquiring new single family houses to renovate, to lease, to add to your portfolio, to increase your cash flow and your equity, even if you keep acquiring houses, the process becomes, it becomes second nature, so to speak. It's easier. You've done it once, second time is easier, third time is easier, fifth time, 10th time, 20th. It's very repeatable. And with repetition, it just, like I said, it becomes second nature. You don't think about it. Because you are educated, because you did spend the time to lay that groundwork, because you have a team, because you built that network. So what is your job now? Whether the passive investor in apartments or the active investor in houses, apartments, whatever. Number one, stay educated. The markets do change. You know, I was looking at the calendar for the next month or two, and there are quite a few events out there which I plan to attend because I want to stay abreast of what's happening in the economy, in individual markets. You know, when I started, I began investing in Dallas-Fort Worth because this is where I sit. I've since invested in houses. I'm speaking about houses here down near Houston. We're looking at other markets outside of Texas because Lifestyles has expanded its footprint in Tennessee, in the Carolinas, in Georgia, Kansas, Missouri, Arizona. And we have members investing beyond those markets as well. So it's very easy to tap into that infrastructure. But I want to be educated. I want to stay educated on what's happening in those markets. A lot of opportunity for that. I would say I go monthly at least to single family virtual sessions where we learn about these markets. So lots of opportunity there. Number two, you want to keep your team fresh, right? For the active investors, vendors come and go, right? One of our mentors says, you know, that contractor's good until they're not. So I always like to have a contractor I'm using, GC, and who's second, who's my backup, who's the backup after that. Like I said, I just got a text from a fellow investor, somebody that I need on my team as a backup, right? We're always trading notes, right? Exchanging contractors and so on, but you want to keep that team fresh. And number three, you keep your network fresh. And you do that by going out to things like the case study, I mentioned that briefly, or the Wealth and Passive Income Expo. It can be very overwhelming. I'm going to warn you now, if you go to the Wealth and Passive Income Expo, thousands of people, thousands of real estate investors, it can be overwhelming. Lots of education, a lot of information. You'll talk to a lot of vendors and contractors. Just be prepared. But you will come away so much better off and ready to take on this, quote, let's say, second job as a real estate investor. And that's the whole point of the show, I think, is it's not really a job. You front load your work, get that education, that team, that network, and it really does become smooth sailing after that, right? Much easier. Stay on top of that stuff. That's your job once you are, let's say, experienced, and you just keep rolling. So when it comes to that notion, if you're thinking about, boy, I need more income, the easy thing to do is to go out and find that second W-2 job. It's going to eat your time. In most cases, will not be fulfilling. It's going to take from your family time and so on. Better consideration, a better way to go. You know, I looked at, when I was doing my research, I was curious, what kind of second jobs are people getting? If you go to Indeed.com, it's a hiring platform. They have 20 good second jobs. I'm not going to read through all these. Number one, pet sitter. I need one of those, by the way, for my big dog. Food server, bartender, customer service rep, delivery driver, house cleaner, transcriptionist, blogger. Freelance writer, graphic designer, handy person, sports coach, babysitter, and so on and so forth. Those are the typical jobs people shoot for, things they can do after hours on the weekends. But ask yourself if that is where you really want to spend your time. Is that going to get you five ways of making money? It'll get you the cash flow. It won't get you the tax advantages. There will be no signing bonus, no equity capture, as we call it, no equity buildup. They're not going to be watching that equity grow in the background through principal pay down and market appreciation. So yeah, that's one way to go, but I would really encourage you to consider the notion of becoming a real estate investor with that cash flow, with those equity plays, with the tax advantages. You'll get to that passive income. You'll get to that financial freedom, and then you could become real estate retired, just like myself, like thousands of members at Lifestyles Unlimited, and have no job at all. I mean that in a good way. Go out and enjoy your life, because it's not the money, it's the lifestyle, and this is where you'll eventually get when you start down that path. But yeah, you'll have to front load the work, get that education, build that team, find that network. But before you know it, you're going to be looking back like I do now and say, boy, that was the best decision I ever made. Be sure to check out the Expo. Text EXPO to 88007. I hope to see you there.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.